Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hubhopper Originals.
You all have heard this Hubhopper original show, How's the Joe Season 2, on Hubhopper and various other platforms. Today I'm so grateful as I'm sitting down with the founder and CEO of Hubhopper, none other than Gautam Rajanan. Gautam, it's such an absolute pleasure to sit down with you and communicate about various aspects and the humbling experience of entrepreneurship.
Thank you so much, Omkar. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. And Gautam, there's one more thing. Recently, I happened to do this show called as Biz Talks, wherein I spoke to different entrepreneurs around India. And most of the entrepreneurs told me that entrepreneurship is an humbling experience. So I really want to know how humbling it has been to you.
Oh, it's definitely a humbling experience. It's a very unique experience. It's also... It's parallel to nothing else. I mean, I would recommend it to anybody and everybody who is sort of interested in or is curious about it. It's humbling because of the fact that I think you take on the role of a parent much earlier, often much earlier than you would normally sort of take that role on. So you sort of become very protectionist. You sort of are thinking altruistically outside of just yourself from a very, very early age. I mean, especially if you've started young. So you're constantly worrying about the health of something outside of yourself. You're constantly worrying about the growth, the reputation, the, you know, sort of general sanctity of something that's outside yourself. So, I mean, in that regard, it's a format of parenthood before parenthood. That's one way that I'd like to put it, but also it's really humbling because, ironically enough, especially this was the case in my journey, when you just start out as an entrepreneur, you have a huge amount of sort of delusional optimism, and you have an insane sort of sense of self and you know, delusion of self-grandeur, which is very important to have in the beginning, because if you knew how high and large the mountain was before you began to scale it, I don't know whether anybody would begin scaling the mountain to begin with. But as you sort of build your organization and it becomes larger and larger and larger, you come to realize how many things there are that you don't know, and how many things there are that you that sort of make this road longer and more sort of tenuous than you had previously imagined it. And that in itself is very humbling. I think the awareness as you sort of start to build and grow the organization, the awareness of knowing that you actually know a lot less than you actually know.
Right. Yeah.
Where the humility comes from.
True. So it's all about, like, you know, scaling up oneself, and it's like going to another level and recognizing the fact that there's so much more to do.
Correct. Correct.
Right. Gautam, how does it feel to be listed in 30 under 30 Forbes? Like, that reflects so much of power. How do you utilize this power?
So the best way to utilize this power is to forget that it ever happened. and to realize the next day when you wake up, nothing's changed. And, you know, that day itself, of course, you feel great. And it's a format of getting... validation, external validation, which is always nice when you're starting out and you're sort of in your early days. But it's something that you should forget as quickly as you get it. How it changes your life and perspective, I would say, is in the way that it's very different than what you would previously imagine it. It's like when you go and meet other people that are fortunate enough to be in the under 30 list, you realize that they're exceptionally flawed. They're just as flawed as you, because you otherwise constantly feel like an imposter, and you feel like, look at all of these luminaries with you somehow entering this haloed ground of people. But as you interact with people more and more and more, you see that they're just as flawed as you are. They are just as confused as you are at times. They are just as sort of excited about the future while scared about the future as you are. And I'd say the only string that, you know, sort of runs through each and every one of them is that they're passionate about what they do, and they are very, very, very driven to achieving it. Outside of that, all of your sort of human flaws exist and are actually amplified when you go and meet other people that are sort of fortunate enough to be in the list. But yeah, if you need to answer your question in a one word sentence, how do you deal with it? Is you deal with it by forgetting about it and like waking up the next day and going back to work.
Okay, that's again a part of being quite humble. Right. So Gautam, you just mentioned about validation. So do you really seek out for the validation for your work? Because it's a quick question that I wanted to ask you.
Yes, of course. Everybody does. And when you're an entrepreneur and you're in a startup, the structures are very different than when you're in an MNC. When you're in an MNC, you have your yearly increment. You have your sort of yearly promotion. You have an entire setup that tells you about your performance. But when you're in a startup, and especially if you're the founder of the startup, then you're essentially carving out the entire journey yourself. So when only time you actually know whether you're doing well or not is when externally you are being told whether you're doing well or not. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Right. So yeah, it is very important. I would say the one thing as you sort of grow larger and larger, I think one thing that founders need to instill in themselves is to make sure that doesn't become a drug and a habit for them. And they need to figure out how to gain that sort of how to gain that level of self-assurity from within rather than constantly trying to seek it from external sources. And that's much easier said than done.
Right. And when we talk about Hubhopper, this is a kind of a platform which allows creators to create a content and for the consumers to consume the content. Mm-hmm. So in this trying times, I really want to look forward to this question. Like, you know, you answering this question, like, what would you comment over the progress of Hubhopper in this trying times, especially from March till the date? And what's the structure been like?
So, I mean, I'm a very sort of glass half full, silver lining type of person. So obviously, there are a lot of difficulties, and there's a large amount of adversity that you're seeing across the globe, across the country, across the economy, and across your own organization as well, which is sad to see. But at the same time, it's Darwinian in its own way, and you make sure to like adapt rapidly. You make sure to sort of make changes in a speed that you would otherwise not be forced to make them. It's no surprise that only after large scenarios of adversity do you see renaissances occurring, because you know humanity is forced into becoming more innovative, becoming more imaginative, and you know it sort of propels growth trajectory. But at the same time, whilst all of that is the difficult aspect of what we're sort of dealing with in the podcasting space, I think the last 4 months has been rather pivotal in building top of funnel awareness, in getting people on the listener side to learn more about podcasts, to actually embrace the meaning of the word, to understand what all it entails. So lots of people have begun to listen to more podcasts, which is great to see on the one hand. And on the creator side, I would say because people have been at home for so long, and they're seeking a sense of companionship as well, so are the listeners. They're trying to vicariously live in the external world. You're seeing a lot of people actually making podcasts during a time like this, because they're finally getting that time that they always waited for, but they weren't getting. They finally, are maybe for reasons such as seeking out companionship externally, they're forcing themselves to finally take the plunge and start podcasting. So I guess during a phase like this, you're seeing both more listenership increase. You're also seeing more creators increase. So I would say on that regard, it is a silver lining for this space in terms of usage and consumption. But yeah.
So if you look at the overall performance, it's going great.
Yeah, it's going well. I mean, I'm a little wary to say it's going great because there are aspects about it which aren't great. I mean, the entire sort of the whilst the usage and the listenership are up right now, I would say money running through the entire system. And when I say the system, I don't mean the podcasting industry. I mean the economy at large is a little stagnated. So on that, I would say in that vertical of this industry, there's actually a slowing down that's taking place. In the vertical of usage, there's a speeding up that's taking place.
But I think that that's going to be reflecting on the monetary side as well, since the usage is increasing so slowly and steadily. We would see a growth in that vertical as well, maybe in the recent time, in the upcoming times.
Correct. That's true.
Right. True. Gautam, I think gut and creativity are at the core of everything. So how do you sort of function as a founder and CEO of Hubhopper? Like, how do you perform your duties?
How do I perform my duties?
Yeah, like you have to be at times looking forward to your gut and creativity, and you have to be function at the same time. You're a founder and CEO of Hubhopper. So how do you sort of channelize all your thought process?
You make sure to, because I guess there it's cross-functional, right? So you make sure to actually have a process in place where you, like for me, what I personally do is I've broken my day up into, you know, six different slots, which represent six different aspects of the organization. I've been, for the last 6 years, I write down what I'm going to do on a daily basis, every single day. So I've got north of 25 diaries with just, you know, it's just repetitive of me writing what I'm doing on a daily basis, along with me writing what are ongoing activities that haven't yet closed. You know, it keeps me, whenever I enter office, it isn't ambiguous. It isn't something that I get lost in that way. And it's basically something that when I know what I need to achieve on a daily basis, and that incrementalism, when looked at in retrospect, is what creates big change, I would say. I'm also very lucky that I have a great team with me, all of whom are a lot brighter than I am. So they get to sort of the amazing work that they do. I'm very lucky that I get to be a part of it, I would say. So I think there's a certain amount of personal discipline that you have to instill into the process. Along with that, then you also have to a certain degree realize that, you know, the theoretical, like your theoretical conviction can only get you so far. Post a point, you do have to play with gut, and post a point, you do have to take, you know, certain risks and plunges. If we hadn't taken those risks, we would have never got into podcasting. I mean, 4.5 years ago, who would have thought about podcasting being where it is today?
Right. Very true.
You know, so I would say it's a nice blend on a daily basis between having, you know, a good sense of personal organization, theoretically understanding problems and the solution that you're trying to create for those problems as far as possible. And then finally, you know, being a little bit sort of, also basing decisions on gut, and basing decisions a little bit on, you know, calculated risk assessment, and then sort of just hoping for the best and working as hard as you can.
Right. Gautam, you just said that, you know, at the end of the day, you do have a certain calculated risk, but after that, you have to jump in with your gut feelings. Uh-huh. So I really want to ask you this. This is something that is really intriguing me, that what are you in it for? Like, you know, there's a core to everything. So what do you sort of look forward at the end of the day?
That's a great question. What am I in it for? You're asking a core belief of mine. So, Omkar, what I'm, I guess, in this for is I found a medium that I fell in love with myself. And then I was very surprised because this medium changed my life. I listened to about 14 hours of podcast a day. 5 years ago, when I listened to about 14 hours of podcasts a day today, I listened to numerous podcasts across the day. I listened to podcasts while sleeping. I don't think there could be a bigger patron of the medium than me, but I generally found it very painful to see that, you know, despite the fact that there was such value in the medium, that there wasn't much penetration in the Indian market of this medium, which was surprising to me because all of the variables that would make this medium do well anywhere else all existed here. Whether you're looking at high commuting time, a large amount of multilingual, multicultural ethnicities in one location, a pre-existing very strong relationship with audio, whether that's through our consumption as Indians with radio, whether that's our consumption as Indians through devotional content, whether that's our consumption as Indians through just listening to stories that our parents and grandparents told tell us, we're generally a very oral tradition-oriented culture. And despite all of these things, even the way that we consume YouTube for that matter is we actually put YouTube on and we listen to YouTube rather than viewing YouTube. Where our behavior with the world's largest video platform, actually we treat it more like an audio platform than we do a video platform. So all of these things, you know, all pointed to the direction that there should be audio content platforms that exist in India, prevalent in India, both on the creator side and on the listener side, but they weren't. And for somebody that had fallen so in love with the medium, I couldn't stomach that. And least of all, could I stomach being sold podcasts from the West as a westernized concept. I couldn't deal with the fact that, you know, podcasts, it's making it, you know, the way that it was being branded and sold to us is that this is the medium that's coming to us from America or coming to us from the West, which is just not the case when you already have such a long history with it. So I wanted to create representation for the medium, which is why I sort of started Hubhopper. I started it to scratch my own itch, but I also knew that there was huge power in it. And as we went and deeper into building products, tools, solutions for this space, whether those were listening-based solutions, applications, websites, plugins, microsites, we started to sort of find out where there were real problems and where were there sort of knots in this space. And we found, say, the entire creator ecosystem, while they all wanted to create so many podcasts, it was impossible to do so because it was so technologically hurdle-ridden. It was so it was a Pandora's box. It wasn't intuitive. It was not India-facing. All of these things put together, I mean, I'm always sort of trying to do with Hubhopper is one by one, trying to detangle and untangle this space and give it its due and sort of build up the community both on the listener side as well as on the creator side. So to answer your sort of question in a sort of more brief way is what drives me. What drives me is being able to stand up for a community that very few people were standing up for before, you know, sort of Hubhopper entered the space. And I feel very proud to be part of that. And I feel that there's a lot more that we need to do before, you know, we would consider our job even half done.
Right, Gautam. And I really want to thank you at this point. Like, you took up a stand for all the Indian consumers and the creators. And that's the reason I think we are chatting today when this is an Hubhopper original show. And like, you know, we are sort of communicating through this medium. And a couple of things that I just noted out from this particular answer of yours, as you told me that you tend to listen to a lot of podcasts, kindly add House of Joe season 2. Maybe that might make a change.
100%.
Right. And, you know, there's a very beautiful quote. I won't say a quote, but a statement given by one of the leading production houses that is like, sleep is our challenge. So we need to create something that the people don't sleep and just binge watch us. So do you sort of feel that same connection or do you sort of feel that same relationship between you, that is the Hubhopper, and the different existing podcasts, different existing podcasting platforms or maybe content creating platforms, for example, YouTube, Netflix? Because yours is sort of on the similar lines when people are coming and creating as well as consuming it.
So if I understand correctly, what you're saying is that is our objective to compete with sleep?
No, not sort of sleep, but I would say that do you sort of feel that competition with YouTube, like people are going to YouTube, so they are like, I'll try to incorporate certain more things that makes Hubhopper more interesting than YouTube or any other platform for that matter?
Look, I think the way, and this is a bit of a misnomer, especially if you're looking at video platforms, people always look at, you know, if you go into meetings and you go in and you start having conversations, people are always talking about video against audio, video or audio, how will video how will audio ever catch up to video, all of that. But that's, I mean, that in itself is largely misrepresentative, because both of them have their own place and they both exist at different times. When you're watching video, you're always watching video and your device is in focus in front of you. And that is the time for video. So like when your phone is lit up in front of you and you're looking at your phone, that is a more appropriate time for video, in my opinion. Or when you're looking at your laptop, and your laptop is in front of you and you have a Netflix or a Hotstar or a Amazon Prime in front of you, that is the time for video, because it's an immersive, focused experience. Podcasts are I always call podcasts the younger but faster brother of YouTube, where in the way that podcasts are actually meant to be consumed at a different point in time. Podcasts are consumed when your phone is not in focus in front of you, but it's actually in passive state, but still with you. So your phone is not lit up in front of you, but you still have it with you and you still like to consume content, but you previously weren't being able to consume great quality content. And that's a very large amount of time in the day which can be filled. It's a space that only audio has the beautiful sort of ability to fill. So I would say that both of them aren't conflicting. They're more complementary, where you consume video when you're more active and you consume audio when you're more passive.
Right. So this is something that I was looking forward to. Yeah. So it's like a different stage of entertainment. When you're like sort of active, you go for the video things. But when you're trying to commute or like sort of trying to deal with certain boring meetings, or maybe like you're working on something like just Excel or something, you sort of go through the passive medium. That is the podcast or something.
Exactly.
Right. So Gautam, the next question, I don't know whether this is that appropriate, but definitely I think you got to decide. So it is like, do you ever feel that existential crisis scenario, like wherein you're sort of broken down? How do you come back? Like, you know, it tends to happen to every one of us. Do you go through that?
Yeah, of course. Everybody, like you said, everybody goes through it.
Right. So how do you sort of come back?
You throw yourself into your work. You have a great support system around you. Meditate. You hope that it goes away. And like everything in life, everything comes in waves. Where they'll come in crests and troughs. And there will be certain points that will be high points. There will be certain points that are low points. I think as people, your big sort of objective in life is to make sure that those waves become slightly lower in their amplitude. So whilst you still will have waves in life, if you can make sure like those waves are actually not as high and as low, and a bit more mid path, especially in terms of how you respond to them and your reaction to them. If you can manage to do that, then I guess you're able to weather storms better. But storms will come and storms will go. And sunshine will come and sunshine will go. That's just the way that life is. That would be my answer.
Right. I think it's like you just deep dive yourself into the work, or either you sort of meditate or travel. And that would be a sort of a solution to come back.
Yeah.
Right. The next question is the question that is normally asked to the women, okay, when we speak about the work-life balance. But I want to make a difference, and I'll start making that difference by asking you, like, how do you sort of strike the balance between the work and the life, like the personal life and the corporate life that you have?
So I think when you're just starting out, then at that time, you know, it's very, it's almost trendy to say, I don't have a work-life balance. My life is my work is my life. And there's no demarcation between the two. And I'm a culprit to that. You'll be able to find videos and podcasts in which I've only said it, you know, hundreds of times. And this was at a different phase. I think when your organization does begin to grow, it is superbly important for you to build the skill set of compartmentalization. And it's superbly important for you to figure out how to have that little bit of work-life balance. Only because, and work-life balance doesn't mean that you work less. It just means that like any machine, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're looking at a car, if you keep running a car constantly and you never slowed that car down and you never stopped that car, eventually you're going to face burnout. Your engine will give up. Your tires will give up quicker. It's completely logical if you think about it from a machine standpoint. And if you correlate your own body and your own mind as any other machine, it becomes more intuitive for you. So as I think you grow your organization and you sort of go through a few more years than when you're just starting out, you realize that the life aspect is superbly important because it's where you recharge so that the next day when you turn that engine on again, it's operating at optimum. Otherwise, you just have diminishing returns of productivity.
Right. So I think it's basically the switch off at the appropriate time zone.
Yes.
Right. All right. So moving on towards the last one, it's sort of a very abstract one, Gautam. So it's like whatever is in your head, whatever is your mindset, you're going to utilize this to channelize how you sort of going to figure out this question and answer it. So the question is, how do you see it? Do you see it as a compromise or do you see it as a choice?
What do I say?
Yeah, so that is an abstract one.
I see it as a choice.
Okay, so you're gonna simplify it out to me. You're gonna dissect me the aspect. Like, what did you just imagine when I asked you this?
I don't know everything, man. Like, I think when it like people constantly call things like your choice in work. I mean, do you eventually have to compromise and choose a boring path because that's just what everybody has to do? Or do you have a choice in actually dictating your own destiny? I would say the latter. I'd say that the latter is a very scary and uncertain path, but it is definitely a choice. I'd say that a lot of people, they look at things like marriage, they always talk about marriage as compromise. I don't see marriage as compromise at all. You have a choice, and I see it as, like, again, it's an exceptionally wonderful and rewarding thing if you view it from that perspective. It's not a compromise. So generally everything else, I would say, like, all of these things are choices, and you are the master of your own destiny to quite a large degree. This is as abstract as it gets, so I can only bullshit my way for so long.
right, Gautam. So I think I really love the way you just channelize your thought process to answer this abstract one. And I think you choose the latter one. That is, it's always a choice and not a compromise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what is the right answer or the wrong answer here, but I'm...
Yeah, it's life. There's nothing wrong or right. It's always a perspective.
No, it's also ironic because you gave me a choice to choose between two options of which one is the choice. So, like...
Oh, that's deep. That I didn't really think of that. But I think that's quite interesting again.
Okay.
True. So, Gautam, it was definitely a great time, like, understanding the different aspects and the layers and the verticals of podcasting and your entrepreneurship journey. So, Gautam has sort of worked on the podcast, made the process quite simplified. He has really simplified the process of podcasting that you can launch your podcast within few minutes. And Gautam, it's a great pleasure. And finally, we have arrived to the end part wherein we have to say a goodbye. But thank you so much for being on board with House of Joe Season 2.
My pleasure, man. Thank you, Omkar. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So all the beautiful listeners out there, kindly tune in to this beautiful episode wherein Gautam Raj Anand was kind enough to devote his time and have a conversation with me wherein we spoke about podcasting and the different layers of entrepreneurship. Thank you so much and keep listening to House of Joe Season 2, your daily dose of Josh in association with Panout Media. Thank you.
इस हब हॉपर ओरिजिनल को सुनने के लिए आपका शुक्रिया अगर आप भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करना चाहते हैं तो हब हॉपर स्टूडियो वेबसाइट पे रजिस्टर करें और एक मिनट के अंदर अंदर अपना खुद का पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करें यही नहीं स्टूडियो देता है आपको पूरी आजादी कहीं भी कभी भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करने की सिर्फ 3 आसान स्टेप्स में तो साथ में अपना पॉडकास्ट शुरू करने के लिए तैयार जस्ट हॉप ऑन हब हॉपर सिंपली कॉन्टेंट Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.